All right, let's open in a word of prayer here. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given us. Thank you for the church that you've called us to and you have planted us in. Thank you that in our church, in the church, every joint supplies, every gifted member, every member is a part of the whole. And we're so thankful for everybody that you've called into this assembly. And ask that you would keep us all safe, you would keep us all healthy. Pray for our country in these next few weeks as we go up to the election. Lord, we pray for peace in our country. We pray for unity in our country. We pray that there would be honor and respect for each other like there has been. And just lead us, Lord. Lead us as a church, as believers in an interesting time. Lead us and give us a great fellowship now, we ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Don, great message this morning. Hey, amen. Thank you, Don. Yeah, it was a great message thinking about Christ coming down into this crooked and perverse generation or this crazy world that we have, and that he would come and he would act and he would work and he would love and be gracious and merciful. It's amazing. It's amazing to think about. And I want to be provoked in that truth and I want to be persuaded in it. I love it so much. Like that our understanding of Christ's work on the cross wouldn't just be, you know, a motivational thought, but it would be something that solidifies our life and persuades us. So he came. He has come for us. And he has been gracious. So what a great thing to celebrate. I wanna speak tonight about prayer. And we can open to Daniel chapter 6. I wanna look at the life of Daniel. Maybe just actually this one instance, this one story. The book of Daniel is quite a book. And to be studied as a whole, it's bigger than what I want to say tonight, but I want to take this story and encourage us in this truth about prayer. So open with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel lived in Persia and he had been taken out of, he was in captivity, right? He was not in a free position, free place, but he was in captivity. But he had favor, right? And he had found himself in a good position, not because of himself, but because of, it says that there was an excellent spirit in him. But then Daniel there was a conspiracy against him and they tried to trap him. They tried to put him away because of this spirit. They tried to get him out of the position he was in and, you know, really kill him. They wanted to throw him in a lion's den. So they kind of tricked Darius the king into making a decree and writing something that would harm Daniel. But it's interesting that how they approached it was that they kind of appealed to the pride of Darius, and they appealed to, you know, his pride as the leader, as the governor, as the king. And he quickly acted against Daniel because of the approach. And they knew what they were doing, but and I'm not blaming Darius, but I'm just saying that to be careful when our pride is played on and when people try to reason with us and appeal to that part, like our flesh, and they try to appeal to our pride, we could not unknowingly act in a negative way just because our flesh is puffed up a little bit. So let's look at this chapter. We'll start in verse 1. It pleased Darius the king to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. So these are like aides or, you know, how would we say it? Like his assistants or, you know, delegates of his. He sent them over the whole kingdom so that, you know, he couldn't do everything on his own, but if he had the input of these 120 men, he could come up to a conclusion. And over the 120, he had three governors. So there's 120, and there are three, and these three take the information from the 120 and they give it to Darius. So it says, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So the king's not wasting his time with things that are not necessary, but he is getting the most important information and he is making the best choices because of the counsel of these three men. And at the top of these three men was Daniel. Look, it says he was one of the three, but then in verse 3, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. So there's the 120, then there's the three, and then among the three there's Daniel. And he is distinguished among all of them. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. There's an excellent spirit in Daniel, and he was distinguished. We could say, what distinguishes us in this world? What distinguishes us in the time that we live in? But the filling of the Holy Spirit, the truth that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, it sets us apart and it makes us different because we are not governed or ruled by our senses or our desires, but we are governed and ruled by the Holy Spirit. And in that, we are very different. We are very different than the world. Yes, human. Yes, prone to failure. Yes, we could be deceived. Yes, we can still fall into sin. But the believer is called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we sin, we get up, we rebound. When we fail, we get up, we ask for forgiveness. And as we grow and as we learn, we are refined by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it distinguishes us in the world. It distinguishes our counsel. It distinguishes our conversation. It distinguishes our mission and our motivations and all these kind of things that set us apart. So you can look at us outwardly and we maybe don't look that different. You know, we still drive the cars. We, you know, wear the same clothing. All this kind of stuff is there, but there is a difference and the difference comes out in who we are and how we act and how we speak and how we're motivated, how we handle money, how we treat our families. Like, we are distinguished in this. Daniel is that way in this kingdom and it's recognized. So, but look, verse 4, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. So they said, okay, this guy's difference. We don't know how to be what he is, so we, you know, it would be more convenient if we could just move him along, get him out of the way. So now there's a conspiracy against Daniel. Why do they want to remove him? Do they want to get him out of the way because of his fault, or because of his failure, or because of his sin? No. Actually, they want to get rid of him because they can't find anything wrong with him. And they, in comparison to him, are not that great. And he is in their way. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. It doesn't say that they couldn't find fault or charge because he was perfect. It says because he was faithful. Faithful to what? Well, we can see that in a minute. He was faithful in his prayer. He was faithful in his approach to God. And he was faithful in putting everything before God. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So now they move on from his character and conduct. They can't find anything there. So they move on to his worship. They move on to his understanding of God. And they want to find a problem there that they could exploit. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. This is what I'm saying. It says in the Amplified in verse 6 that these presidents and satraps came tumultuously together to the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. Like they were not, they didn't just like come in casually, but they thronged, they came in with a, like an urgency. They came in maybe with like an anxious spirit. They came in with like a pressure and they like tumultuously, like crashing in. They didn't just come in respectfully presenting, but in a frenzy kind of, we could say. And maybe this catches the king off guard, because it's just into this intense situation without really being able to think through it. And then, like I said, they appeal to his pride. King Darius, live forever. King Darius, live forever. You are amazing. You're the man. You have done such great things. You are a great, great king. Oh, blah, 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 on and on. But then look what they say in verse 7. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps, the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So King Darius, you are so significant, you are so wise, you are so blah, 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 and we don't want anybody to consult anything else except for you. No other god, no other man, nothing. You are this thing revolves around you, Darius, live forever, you know, on and on. And then, like, there's Darius, like, yeah, oh, this sounds great. That's a fantastic idea. I love it, guys. Yeah, keep pumping me up. But verse 7 starts by saying all the governors of the kingdom, all the administrators, all the satraps, all the counselors, all the advisors. Is that true? No, it's not. Actually, the one who is distinguished above the rest, and maybe the one who Darius would put the most weight into his opinion, into his conversation, that one was left out of the conversation. Why? Because they know that their whole plan will fail if they allow Daniel to have a voice. And so they want to take it away. They want to take his voice to the king, and they want to take away his voice to God. How does that work out? Well, verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. When the king and the Medes and the law of the Medes and the Persians, if the king said it, it was set fast. It could not change. And we see this happened a couple times in the Bible. Where else did it happen? Was it with, Anyway. So here he is. Verse 10. Daniel. Now Daniel. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Daniel knew what it meant. Daniel knew the seriousness of it. Daniel knew what would happen if he did what he did. But did that affect his decision? Ultimately, no. It says that he knew that the writing was signed and he went home. Did he go to the king and defend himself? Did he go to the king and plead? Did he go to the king and explain the situation? No, he went home and he went to a real king. He went to the Lord. And in his upper room, look, we have the youth room right over there, the upper room. He went to his upper room, and with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Okay, follow with me. This was his practice, but more than a practice, it was his fellowship with God. It was how he had a different spirit. It was how he was distinguished, because he took the time 3 times a day towards Jerusalem and he consulted God. He listened to God. He found wisdom. He found understanding. He found love. He found mercy. He found grace. He found purpose. He did this before God. But one thing I wanted to say about this is that it doesn't have a written prayer about what Daniel said. A lot of times when men of God pray in the Bible, it's written what they said, how they prayed. Moses, his prayers are written. David's prayers are written. Nehemiah's prayers are written. Joshua has prayers that are written. Abraham's prayers are written. The songs are written. And they're explained there. And they're specific prayers. And that's awesome. I love those prayers. But what I find interesting about Daniel's prayer is that it doesn't exactly say that he's praying about this situation. It simply says that he did what he always did and he continued doing it. And that was consulting God and being with God in prayer. And we could actually think that it simply says that he was thankful. He gave thanks before his God. Could it be that Daniel's prayer was not his outlet for his anxiety? It was not the place where he, and bear with me on that statement. It was not the place where he simply brought his fears and his worries and his concerns. But it was his prayer was a place where he came and he was in fellowship with God and he was thankful. Here he is in captivity and now here he is knowing there's a conspiracy against him. And here he is also knowing that there is a decree written according to the law of the Medes and the Persians that if he were to do what he does, he would be thrown in the den of lions where there's some 900 hungry beasts waiting to rip him apart. Okay. So he goes to prayer. It doesn't alter him. And in prayer, he finds thankfulness. And in prayer, he finds fellowship with God. It could be that he was quiet there in prayer. And we heard Pastor Schaller speaking to us this past week about prayer at the pastor's conference. And I was so touched by it. It meant so much to me that we would go to prayer and find quietness. And in that quietness, I could find a lot of direction. And in that quietness, God could answer a lot of things without me necessarily bringing them to him, but just his ministering to me and me hearing his voice and understanding his presence and being persuaded of his love for me, being persuaded of his faithfulness to me. That could have a bigger impact on my life than bringing my list of things to him. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said before, we do bring our anxieties to God. We do bring our fears to God. We do bring our requests to him and our list of things. But what I'm saying is that can't be my only purpose in prayer. But actually, I want to find a time in prayer where I can be like Daniel and be there can faithfully hearing God's voice and being ministered to by his presence. So Daniel is there doing this as is his custom since early days. He doesn't change his fellowship with God based on what is currently happening, you know, in current events, which is a good understanding for us also that we don't change our faith or our relationship with God to adapt with the times. But our fellowship with God is the thing that sustains us through the times, whether there are valleys or mountain peaks, you know, high great times or difficult times, however that way works, right? Which one's the valley? The valleys are beautiful, shady, cool, flower, you know, the mountaintops are rugged and I don't know, whatever. I still don't know which one's better, which one's worse, which one's difficult, you know, I don't know, but you get the idea. Okay, so Daniel is doing this. He's in fellowship with God. He's in prayer. And then we see in verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel, right? They're like around the corner, like, they rented the property across the street and they're like on a stakeout and they're, oh, we got him. We got him. There he is. Red-handed sucker. Making supplication before his God. They found him making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and they spoke concerning the king's decree. And they basically say, hey, remember what you signed? You know, remember the law of the Medes and the Persians? You can't go back on them. You can't change them. You can't alter it. If it's written, it's written, and you have to accomplish it. He's like, yeah, of course. Remember, no one could pray to anybody but you? Oh, yes, yes, that was a great one. I love that. Thank you guys for bringing that to my attention. I love it. I love it. I feel like a god. Yeah, thank you. But then they say, well, we got a guilty party. That Daniel, verse 13, so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, you know, one of the captives from Judah, that guy who's like not from here, that guy who really isn't one of us, he does not show due regard for you. That's what they pitch it. They pitch it to Darius. He does not respect you. He doesn't fear you. He is, you know, going against everything that you say. O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And when the king heard these words, he was greatly displeased within himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But he could not deliver him. He couldn't. And actually, he goes to Daniel and he says, he cast him in the lion's den and he spoke to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. Like, remember, Daniel was faithful. Remember, he was distinguished and he was faithful. Who you serve continually. Right? He will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the lion's den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Right? So it's sealed. No one can break the seal. No one can open the door. It's done. It has been finished. King went to his palace. He did not eat that night. He was fasting. No music was brought before him. It was a quiet, somber night in the palace. Like nothing is happening. No feast, no food, no dinner, no music, no joy, just agony, actually. And also, Darius did not sleep. He rose very early in the morning and made haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Has he been able? Daniel answers, my God sent his angel. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Wow. Who slept better that night? The king in the palace or Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was at more peace in the den of the lions than the king was in the palace with everything at his disposal. Isn't that an amazing truth that we can experience as believers? That we can, in a more seemingly difficult position, have more peace because of Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul. That's a great truth for us, and we can only be persuaded of that truth by knowing God, by listening to him, by being ministered to him, by him, and also by experiencing his presence and understanding his presence and being restful in his presence and enjoying it, like Daniel. Daniel's let out. He's free, and he has great confidence in his God because of what has happened. Let's be like Daniel. Let's have this fellowship with God. Let's have this time in our days. You know, it doesn't have to be facing Jerusalem. It doesn't have to be three times a day. But what I'm saying is that we make time and we find time to be with God in prayer, not just our list. Have time for your list. Really do. Please bring your, like he says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Bring your list, bring your anxiety, bring your fears, but also make a time where you can listen to God's voice and you can experience his presence and understand it. And it's something that we work up to. It's something that we have patience with. It's not going to be, it could be that you have an hour of quiet meditation with God tonight, and that's amazing. But it could be that you have 5 minutes. And then next week you have 7 minutes. And then the week after you have, or the next day you have 7.5 minutes. And then you grow and you're experiencing the presence of God and understanding of the presence of God and quietness and confidence in who He is and what He's doing. So, let's be like Daniel. We are, in a sense, we are like Daniel because we are distinguished because of the spirit that is in us. We're different. Also, we could say, we are citizens of this country, this nation, most of us. But also, primarily, we are citizens of heaven. So we're like Daniel too, where we are not of this world, and this world doesn't understand why we do what we do. They don't understand the value of our fellowship with God, but they are intimidated by it. So there could be a lot of pressure against your meditation atmospherically, but then also naturally. So what do we do with that? We tune it out by the promises of God. We fight against the devil with the word of God, like Christ did in Matthew chapter 4. He didn't come to the devil, and the devil came to him. What did he say? It is written. We have the authority in the word of God to secure our time in prayer. So, I just want to encourage you guys tonight, myself also, like this is my meditation for me. Like I want this in my life, and I more and more want to be able to have quietness in the presence of God. And I was challenged this weekend at the pastor's retreat by Pastor Schaller and Pastor Schibelli and other men of God for this, right? This quietness before God, this faithfulness for knowing what He is doing and understanding His presence, and in pressure, in difficult times, like being in the lion's den, but the major thing is God, not the lions, right? We're going to be in times of difficulty. Probably, hopefully, prayerfully, none of us will be thrown into a lion's den with 900-something ravaging beasts. But atmospherically, spiritually, there is opposition to us, and there could be a time where we feel the pressure around us, but we have peace, and we have an understanding of the presence of God, and in His presence, we have rest. Although the lions are like clawing at that, but He silences them because that's who He is and that's what He's able to do. So, hallelujah, amen. That's my message for tonight. I'd love to stay on here for a few more minutes. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to me on Facebook. Text message is tough for me to read because I have the video going through my phone, but please message in on Facebook and I'll stay on here for a few minutes if you have any questions or comments about this message, about this morning's message, or about what we're doing right now. Tonita, I can only imagine how Darius felt when he heard Daniel's voice. That's a beautiful meditation. That's a great thought, Tonita. Like he was the one who was up and anxious all night long thinking about what was happening to Daniel. But the relief that he felt when he heard Daniel, wake up, right? He woke Daniel up that morning. Imagine that. Daniel, this is your guy. Daniel's like, oh, Darius, you woke me up. I was sleeping so well in there. You woke me up. But yeah, I'm okay. My God has been faithful and He has done what he can do. And Darius was dramatically changed by it. And he actually wrote a different decree. Look what he wrote instead. Verse 25, King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." That is a humbling thing from a guy who believes he was God, right? To recognize God and to say this new decree. So, we can impact this world by, maybe we don't have to be the person out there doing the things, but we can be the person on our knees, knowing God, relating to God, finding a difference and a distinction in our life because of His presence with us. And it will be recognized. It will make an impact on the world we live in. Like, think of the church, you know, like as a pastor, as a preacher, my prayer life could impact my preaching, and it could impact the way that I understand what God is saying. But also, you could think of the body, the church, you guys, your prayer life impacts the church, the health of the church, the unity in the church. These things are impacted by you. So as you pray for me as a preacher, God answers those, and His faithfulness is shown in what is spoken, and what is happening in the church. So continue to pray for the church. Continue to pray for me. I know you do. So many people are so faithful to pray, and it means so much. So keep it going.